Oh, over here? Right. Shalom, everybody. Hako Telmadim. Hako Studente. The Ivrit. Are you everything set up, Pastor Ben? Perfect.
We're rolling.
All right. I'll say Elohim Tov. And they should say Kol Hazman. And I'll say Kol Hazman. And they'll say Elohim Tov. Because God is good all the time. Praise God.
Amen.
We are moving on to another subject. We are getting the homeworks in. Jacqua Oliver, she is grading some of the papers as we're speaking. She called me this morning, said she's grading the papers. So we'll get back to you with all the scores. She said that the questions are, the tests are coming out very nice. People are getting good grades on the letters. You know you're missing some of the letters, but you have to expect that you're not going to be able to get all 22 letters the very first time that you do this. But every test, this is a warning to you, every test, you have to write the 22 letters without looking. So that is something that if you want to get a quick 10 points, you can always just learn your letters. All 22 in order, perfectly written, gives you 10 points on every test. Then the 90 points that's, you know, for the questions and stuff, you can start to get those perfect. So I'm looking for good grades coming out of this thing. If you haven't turned your test in, you have till tomorrow evening, right? Midnight tomorrow evening to turn your test in, okay? Now, if you turn your test in late and they come in Saturday or Sunday, you lose 5 points, additional points on your test. So you don't want to turn it in late and then drop yourself a whole grade because you're turning in your test late. So, Manishma, that means what? How you doing? I hope everything is blessed. I hope you guys watched the Bible study last night. We're preparing. I would love to have a graduation for 189 people or so, whatever we have students. But if we get raptured before the graduation of this course, I'm sure that the Lord will set something up for you in heaven, and your time will not be wasted. Praise God. You'll get eternal glory and eternal credits. Okay, let's start. The other thing I wanted to tell you before we get started, once you finish your test, I know you're loaded down now, but once you finish your test, all of your sentences that you have been practicing and stuff, you know, when you're saying, how can I, you know, et yachol ane todah, well, that's a sentence, but it's not really a good sentence. How can I thank you? Et ane yachol todah lacha, you say, thank you. But, you know, all of this, we're going to start going back over all of the sentences that you sent in, so we can start building up more and more in our language, and I'm going to teach you the verbs, and I'm going to teach you the plurals, and I'm going to teach you the present, the past, and the future, and how to write it, and how to speak it, so that your Hebrew can be even better. Okay, so looking forward to getting started. But until then, once you turn all your tests in, get back onto your Hebrew sentences, so you get used to how to say things, and we're going to move on in that area. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together, and then we're going to get started. Avanu shama shamaim yikadeshimcha, tavo mehutekel yikasero tzadaka, be'aret ke'asher ne'asa be'shamaim. Ten lanu hayom lechem kenu, uzelat lanu et ashme kenu, ke'asher solechem anachnu le'asher ashme lanu. Vial tevienu b'dimasa, ke'im hatzilanu minuchara, kilacha hamamlecha v'hagivara v'hatiferet le'olamei le'olamin, amen, v'yishim Yeshua HaMashiach, anachnu telefim. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen.
Amen.
And let's get started on today's message. Today in our book, we are on page 44, the gospel in the stars. Okay? And I think you're going to really enjoy this message. And not just this message, but this whole thing about the gospel being in the stars and the constellations, and the stars are speaking to us and prophesying to us all the time. And it's good to know that the person that put the stars and the moon and the sun in the sky is God, and he didn't do it for no reason, not to just make the sky look pretty. It was his first Bible was the star constellation. And once you learn that, the first Bible was the star constellation, you'll understand the historical corruption of the first Bible. Because we got false teachers now, but the Babylonians and the Egyptians, they didn't have a Bible to corrupt because God had not had a written book yet. But they said, you know, the demonic forces said, there is a way we can corrupt his word, because we see he's written the constellations in the stars. And he says, so they began to corrupt the Matzarah, okay, which is the 12 constellations, and the 36 decans, which are also constellations. So there's 48 constellations in the stars. But let's read this. And we want to go to, we're going to read Psalms 19, verse 1. That's what's on page 44. But I'm going to read it from my Bible because I want us to get a real strong understanding of what God is trying to show us concerning the constellations, okay? And you will be in Psalms chapter 19. And we will begin to read. And it says, the heavens declare the glory of God. That's the first sentence that it says there. Now listen, if you take that sentence and you say, I'm going to take this first sentence in this scripture and I'm going to see what's the numerical value of the first sentence in this scripture, the heavens declare the glory of God. And you take all of those letters in Hebrew, and it will come out to be 888, the name of Jesus. So from the very sentence that begins this, the heavens declare the glory of God, he's telling you who this is all about. So the stars are all about Jesus and the story of the gospel. Okay. It says, the skies proclaim the work of his hand. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Okay? So, that means that once God put the stars, every day, it doesn't say every now and then, every day, every morning you get up, every month, every year, the stars are speaking to mankind. And they're telling you a story of God and a prophecy of what he's going to do in the earth, okay? For example, a lot of us don't know this, but the moon, on the Hebrew calendar, the moon disappears every month from the sky. Did you know that? It goes on this cycle, and it starts off as a little slither of the moon in the beginning of the month. Then it fools up by the middle of the month. It's a full moon. Then it starts to dissipate, and it goes to back to a half moon. And then it turns into a little slither, and then it disappears. And then now they're waiting for the new moon to show so they can start a new month. So that's how they govern their month, because the moon gives them the exact 30 days every year, it's in rotation every year to give them the exact time when their month is to begin and when their month is to end. But when that moon disappears, what happens? They can't start the new month until what? Until the new moon appears. Now, I want you to listen to me, because I'm saying that the stars are speaking to you, okay? and the moon and the stars are speaking to you. In the story of Joseph, Joseph says, the sun and the moon bowed down to me. And Joseph's father said, what? Are you saying me and your mother are going to bow down to you? How did he get to understanding that the sun and the moon were married, husband and wife? Okay? But God wants you to know that the bride of the sun is the moon. So that the moon has a story to tell. And what's the story the moon tells? It disappears from the sight of the earth and it reappears in the sky every month. The bride. It disappears from the sight of the earth every month and it reappears in the sky. The bride. It disappears from the sky so that no one on earth can see it. Then it reappears in the sky and that starts something new. You understand? So the moon is prophesying to us the rapture every month. The sun is prophesying to us the judgment every morning. Because it comes up from the east with his heat every morning. And when Jesus returns, he's coming from the east with blazing fire for judgment. One day that sun's going to come up and it won't just be the sun. It'll be the S-O-N. And he says he's going to come and it's going to be with a blazing fire of judgment. Okay? So it's speaking to us. The stars and the constellations are speaking to us. Not only do they tell us the gospel, we know from Scotty Clark's message when he found those star constellations and from the blood moons and all of these things, the Bible says the stars, the moon, and the sun are prophesying. Just listen what it says. It says, day after day they pour forth speech, night after night they display knowledge. Okay? Now listen. It says here in verse 3, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Okay? Because it doesn't matter what language you speak. If you draw me a picture, I know what water is. And I know what a glass of water. You can draw me a picture of a glass of water, and I know that's what you want. Okay? You can draw me a picture of a flower, and I know it's a flower. In any language. So pictures can tell 1,000 words, right? So it says here, there's no language where their voice is not heard. It says here, their voice goes out into the earth, in verse 4, the word to the end of the world. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom. So the sun is considered to be what? Like the bridegroom. Okay? So the sun is the husband. Okay? So he says, I pitch a sun, and it says, like the bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run its course. So the sun comes up every morning like a bridegroom and a champion. Okay? And so understand that the sun is speaking to us every day about the actions of Jesus Christ, the bride and the judge. Okay? It says in verse 6, it rises at one end of heaven and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat. Okay? And in fact, the sun, I heard scientists talk about this. They said if we did not have the sun, and there was a radio show, they said if we did not have the sun, everything would die, including human, all human. Humans would die because of what the sun provides to the whole world. And I was like, wow. And so because of the sun, the whole world has life. Can we just say because of Jesus, the whole world has life? Okay? So for us to ignore what God has put in the sky to tell us the story of himself. Okay? Now, let's see. Should I read the rest of this? It says the law is perfect. We'll go by that. Because I want to show you, what I want to show you is this. Understanding the study that we're about to do has to come from a Hebraic standpoint, okay? Now, we know that there are star constellations. And witches and warlocks and demons and earthly people who don't love Jesus. They call those stars constellations. They call them the zodiac sign. My mother, praise God, she got saved and delivered from the zodiac sign. But she lived her whole life for a while according to her zodiac sign. Oh, I'm a Taurus. I got to see what the Taurus say today. And the Taurus said this. Oh, I need to do that. And the whole life was indicative on the fact that her zodiac was telling her how her day was going to be. And when she found Jesus and God revealed to her that that is not from me, that is satanic, she got rid of all of the star constellations. All of the star constellation books in the house, all of the zodiac books, everything. She just got rid of everything. And it was like a deliverance from a lie that the star constellations are about us. Because none of them are about us. You are not a Sagittarius, okay? Somebody, oh, I'm a Sagittarius. No, you're not a Sagittarius. I'm a Pisces. No, you're not. I'm a Gemini. See, they say I'm two-faced. No, you're not, okay? You're not any of those. All of the constellations are meant to tell you a story about Jesus Christ, okay? So let's look at the Hebrew understanding of this on the board. Okay, now, Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Delit. What's Delit? What does the word Delit mean? Adore, okay? So, there are 48 constellations. Listen. There are 12 major constellations, and there are 3 datons, which are subplots, okay, that go with these 12 constellations, okay? So each of the major 12 has 3 subplots, okay? And they tell you the whole story of these constellations. So all together with the 12 and the 36 datons, you get 48 constellations, okay? Why 48? Because God's not gonna do 48 constellations for no reason. The 4 is Delit, which means the door. So God is telling you, first of all, this is about the door. And what's the 8th letter? Delit, He, Vav, Zion, Het. Het stands for the word Hod, which is life, okay? So now, the door that's going to give the world life is the 48 constellation. And so once you learn what God is trying to tell you through these 48 constellations, you'll understand that he's sending the door, Jesus Christ, to give us life and a new beginning. Okay? Now, when we read about this in the book of Genesis, it says he made the sun and the moon, and he also made kakavim, stars. The word kakav, star in Hebrew, is the numerical value 48. So God even gave the word star in Hebrew a numerical value of 48 to let you know that he's the one that's putting these 48 constellations in the sky to give you the gospel. Okay? And what is the gospel for? The door is going to teach you how to gain life. So, let's read this. Let's go back. Wait a minute. Should we first? Yeah. Let's go back to Genesis chapter 1. Let's see. Do we need to do that now? No. Let's move on. Okay. So, now, we're reading here we're on page 44, and we just learned that God has chosen the 44 constellations. In Isaiah 47, verse 13, it says on page 44, all the counsel you have received has only worn you out. Let your astrologers come forward, the stargazers who make predictions month after month, let them save you from what is coming upon you. So listen, what was going on in Isaiah, God was absolutely mad that these people were using stargazers and the constellations to determine their lives. So he says, okay, now that you're in trouble, let's do this. Why don't you let the stargazers and the stars tell you how to get out of this trouble? And so you have to understand, God was not pleased with anybody who was trying to use the stars to predict life situations. Let's go to another scripture here. We're going to go to Isaiah in your Bible, okay? We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 40, verse 26. Isaiah, I hope you have your Bibles with you because we're not going to stay completely in the book today. Isaiah chapter 40, okay? And I believe, okay, chapter 40, verse 26. Okay. Now, verse 26 of Isaiah chapter 40, it reads like this. It says, lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them all by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. What I want you to get from that story, from that scripture, is this. He's the one who created them, but remember how God allowed Adam to name all of the animals. But God says the stars, he says, who brings them out and gives them all a name? Every star constellation has a name. Why would every star constellation have a name? Remember, Adam, what? Man was appointed mortal sorrow. But the blessed God shall come. The blessed God shall come down teaching that his death shall bring them the despairing relief. That's the first 10 names of the Bible. Okay? But it's the story of the gospel. So why is God naming the stars? Because he's the ones telling the gospel story. You understand? Adam doesn't know the gospel story.
Right.
Adam is playing his role. Adam doesn't even know that he's getting a wife yet. You know what I mean? Adam doesn't even know that they're going to fall into sin. Adam doesn't know the story, but the story is already written in the stars on the fourth day. What day was Adam created? Adam, mankind. What? Okay? On the sixth day, Adam was created, okay? And he created the male and female, and male and female, he created them on the sixth day, okay? So that means on the fourth day, God had already written the gospel on the fourth day. One of the constellations in the sky is called the Southern Cross, which is the cross. He put the cross underneath the star constellation that we call the scales. Now the scales is the mashkal, means it is a balance scale to weigh what the price of something is. So when you go into the store, they weigh how much you've purchased, and then you'll know the price from the scale. Well, they put the cross under the scale, under the mashkal, so that you'll know that the price for your sin is going to be the cross. Every year, guess who goes and sits? Guess what happens as the constellations, as the sun rotates, and then now you see the sun will cut lower and lower, and then during the winter solstice, it stops. And it sits where? On the cross. And it stays there for 3 years. All people who study astrology knows that this happens every year. How can you know that the sun stops on the Southern Cross every year for 3 days and not believe in Jesus? Okay, so the sun stops on the cross for 3 days. On the third day, it begins to rise up again, and then we get more light for the rest of the year. Okay? God does that for us every year with the stars because what? It's speaking to you day after day. It's pouring forth knowledge, right? Night after night, it's prophesying to you. It's giving you what is going to happen in this world, and it's telling you through the stars. So God named the stars, and he gave each and every last star constellation a name, so that you'll know what its role is in the gospel story, okay? All right. Now, Pastor Ben, I gave you another booklet, and I think you do have it in your scan, and it'll give us the name of all of the star constellations.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, because I want you to know the name of the star constellations in the Hebrew, not the zodiac sign from star constellation. Because the name in Hebrew is going to tell you the role of that star in the story, okay? So, here we are. So anyway, we know that the first star constellation, I wanted to tell you something, okay? In history, you have every nation in the world has a mother-child story in all of the stories. All of the religious stories throughout the whole world, there's a mother-child story. You know what I mean? Rather, it's, let me think here. Horus what's her name, Pastor? It blinds me for right now. Or you have, what's the Babylonian one? Oh.
Are you talking about Isis?
Isis and Horus. Okay, yeah. So you have Isis and Horus. Okay. Isis is supposed to be this woman, and she gets pregnant by the rays of the sun, and she gives birth to Horus, who's a godchild. Okay, this is what Buddha has a story to.
Ashtar.
Yes.
Sandy Barra said Ashtar.
Yes. So all of these, every pagan culture has a mother and a child story in it. My question to you is, where did they all get the story from? Because these are all ancient stories and ancient religions that come out of what? The corruption of the original story, because God had already put a mother and child in the constellations, and the people who could read the constellations says, oh, there's a mother and child in the constellation. So the child is a God child and the mother. So all of these different religions, from Buddhism, even from Quetzalcoatl, and from the Aztec Indians, all of these have a mother child scenario. So they're stealing God's story, and they're making up their own stories so that they can have these false gods, and they're corrupting God's story so that you won't understand that these stars were made by God to tell you the gospel of a coming Messiah. Okay? At the end of this, I think we're going to show you something about the Sphinx, which is in Egypt. And it's the head of a lion. It's the head of a woman, but it has the body of a lion, letting you know that the Virgo is the beginning of the story, but the lion of Leo, or the lion of Judah, is the end of the story. So the Sphinx, spelled S-P-H-I-N-X, which is an Egyptian statue, shows you that they were robbing from the star constellations, okay? All cultures rob from the star constellations. The Babylonians did it when God came down and broke up the whole thing that was going on in Babylon and spread the nations throughout the world. They all took with them the Babylonians taught them, and that was to corrupt the star constellations to create your own religious story. Okay? So let's continue to read. The first of the star constellations is Virgo. Okay, now I'm going to show you a book. Now, see this book? It's kind of roughed up. This is my book, okay? And it's by a guy named E.W. Bullinger, okay? If you're really interested in getting deep into this story of understanding the star constellation, this is the best book. There's only one mistake in here that he has, and I'll let you find it on your own, but I have it marked out. E.W. Bullinger, and it's The Witness of the Stars, okay? So here, I'm going to talk about the Virgo. The Virgo is the first thing that we're going to talk about. And it is called the Promised Seed and the Virgo. Now, the word in Hebrew is Bethula, okay? And the word Bethula means a virgin, okay? Now, when the virgin star constellation comes up every year, she's going to have in her hand a branch, and that branch is barley harvest, okay? So, the Virgo, we know now that God said the year begins when? In the spring. So that means the Virgo is a spring constellation. You understand? Okay. Let's look at this again. Okay. The Virgo is not a spring constellation. The Virgo is the first constellation. Okay? But the Virgo it rises up. I'll have to explain it to you later, because as one is going down, the other one's coming up. But when Virgo rises up in the spring, the thing that she has in her hand is the barley. So to let you know that your year can now begin. But you won't know that the Virgo is going to be the one to present the barley unless you know the story of Virgo and how the constellations rise. So we'll go through this story. Now, okay, the name Bethula means Virgo. Okay, the second constellation, so you have the Virgo, okay, and then she comes up and she has the branch. The next constellation that you're going to see after the Virgo is going to be, because we say, now we have Virgo, right? That's the major constellation, right? How many constellations we have? Major?
12.
12. Okay, how many decans does each one have?
12.
3. Okay, so the major constellation is going to be the Virgo rising to the sky. Okay, now, what is the responsibility of the 12 disciples? Did God just come and say, you know what? When I get to earth, and as a man in the flesh, I'm going to find me some disciples. Do you think he knew that he wanted to have 12 before he got here? Or do you think that when he got here, he said, oh, well, I only can find 12 good ones, so that's what I picked? Or do you think that God came with a plan, and the 12 disciples that he chose, that are their job is to do what? To preach the gospel. Because that's when he leaves. He says, go out and preach my word, right? So the 12 apostles have to go and preach the word to the world. The 12 constellations, the three decans, are the subplots of the story that are going to do what? Go out and tell the story of the gospel. So, now you see the Virgo come up, but look at the picture of that you see coming up next is going to be a woman with a child on her lap. And this child, okay, now this is called Coma. And the child Coma, that means he is the desire of all the nations, okay? The first constellation, Virgo, explains that this branch will be a child, and that he should be the desire of all nations. Every nation is desiring or in need of this child, okay? Because the child's going to become the son, okay? Okay. Let's look at the next, the next daycon, okay? Now, this is what the Egyptians did. The Egyptians erased all the major 12 constellations, and they only used the 36 daycons, okay? So that's how they corrupted the star constellations. Okay, the next one is called Centaurus, this is like despised sin offering, okay? He's called, Centaurus means despised sin offering, okay? So, you go from the virgin woman to Coma, the desired one of all the nations, to Centaurus, which means the despised sin offering. Not just a sin offering, he's despised, okay? So, the Virgo is telling you that here you have the virgin is going to have a son, he's going to be the desire of the nation, and then the second decan, Centaurus tells you that, which means he will be a despised offering. We're going to get into this more next week, okay? And then the third of those decans is called Booth, and he is the coming one. So first, it's going to be the woman. She's going to have a child, okay? That's going to be desire of the nations. He's going to be a despised offering. And then it says he's going to become Booth, which means he comes, which means he's going to come again, in victory and as judge and in victory, the coming one, which is the Booth. So in that first star constellation, I just told you the story of the virgin who's going to have a child, who's going to be the desire of the nations. I told you that he's going to be a despised offering, so he's going to die. Then I just told you that, but once he dies, he's going to come again. Okay, so that's Virgo. And it's decans giving you the first star constellation, which is telling you about the first story of the gospel. The next story is going to be Libra, which what they call Libra, but the Hebrew name is Mezanin or Mashkal, okay? And the Mezanin is a scale, a weighing scale, like I told you before. And then, of course, that's going to have three decans, and look, the very first decan that's underneath the Mashkal is the crux. And see in this book, it'll show you right there that constellation is the next constellation right underneath the scale. Wow. So the price, and I always use this in my marriage counseling, is that if Christ wanted to have a bride, he had to go and see how much the bridal cost would be, okay? And that the bridal cost for a bride is the cross. So death is the cost for a bride. And that always kind of make the men want to stand up and go, wait a minute, and I don't know if this marriage thing is for me. But when a man gets married, he has to realize he has to die to himself, because his bride becomes the most important thing to him. And once you do that, once you have that understanding, you'll have a much better marriage. Because if you go into a marriage selfish, it's not going to survive, especially for the man, because it's not your role to go into a marriage and still keep all of your life, you know, and I love doing this, and I love doing this, and I love doing that. Your bride now becomes first, okay? So understand, it's a lesson, and once I learned it, I became a much better husband. And on my 24th year, God bless me. Okay, how much time we have, Pastor Dan?
15 minutes.
15 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Now, look at this. Watch this. This is incredible. After the cross, we have Lupus. And you know what Lupus is? It's a lamb with her tongue hanging out. Because when a lamb dies, their tongue falls out. So, and that is called Lupus. It means a victim, the slain victim. And it's a lamb with his tongue out, okay? So now, the scales are now telling us that the price is going to be the cross, and the cross is going to be a lamb, a dead lamb, as a victim, okay? Wow. This constellations are incredible. The last decan is this. Look. The crown. So he said, what does the second constellation tell you? It's going to be a weigh scale. And what's the price of a bride? The cross. Okay. And what's going to happen on that cross? A lamb is going to die. And then what's the third decan that you have to show me, Lord? Oh, it's the corona, meaning the crown. So now we understand that the dying on the cross will not be the end of the story, because later that lamb is going to become king. You understand? See how all the constellations are. Now we're going to get even deeper into this as we go along week by week, so we can tell you all of the stories that are in the scripture that tell to you about the gospel. The rapture is in the star constellation. There is a bride on the earth, and she's in chains. Then there's a bride in heaven with no chains on. This is a star constellation with no chains on, sitting next to the king. This is a star constellation. You understand? So the gospel that's written in the stars is going to tell us everything about what Jesus is going to do. Now, if God put this in the sky on the fourth day, who is it that can come to us and tell us that someone invented Jesus? Or that this isn't God's plan of salvation? Because God made sure that it is original. And he made sure that he created it before any man was invented or created, so that no man can take credit for any of the story. You understand? And then he gives all the stars the name so that he can have credit for everything. Okay? So the gospel is written in the stars, and the stars are speaking to us. Next week, we're going to get further into this whole gospel story, because we're going to go through everything that Jesus is going to do, and you're going to see it with the scriptures, all of these things that are going to transpire as the gospel is being completed, as Jesus, the sacrifice lamb, becomes a king. You're going to see it all in the 12 major constellations and the 36 decan stories that it's telling you about Jesus' life. Okay, now that's about all that I have for you today. And we're going to get, I want you to read the Gospel in the Stars, and that goes from page 40. You don't have to do it till you finish your test, though. If you haven't turned your test in, don't get started on this. Okay? So that goes from page 44 to page 48 is the story. You can take your time on it, but as you read it, you're going to find out a lot about the stars. You're going to find out why Mark Belt and the other guy with the Revelation chapter 12, mother, child, all of this stuff was significant. And why God was showing them through his stars what he was about to do and things that he's doing. Because the stars and the moon, they're always speaking to us every day. Okay? Your work, your Hebrew, continue studying your Hebrew sentences. writing them or just speaking them. I would much rather you start speaking them out loud, and then next week we're going to speak a lot of the sentences out loud so that we understand some sentence structure. So before we get into the star constellations next week, we're going to go through our sentences and give you proper structure. And I'm going to show you some of the ways that you wrote sentences. Some of them were good. Sometimes I would send it back and say, this sentence doesn't make sense. So, and I'm going to show you how we're going to structure. And then we're going to also show next week how to add the plural to it, how to make that word present, past, and future, okay? And how to, and what are the verbs, okay? So we'll show you how to build what they call the binyan, okay? And the prefixes of the Hebrew words so that you can see the prefixes and you can read the prefixes before you read the root, and it'll help you to start reading Hebrew a lot better, okay? So until next week, Shabbat, no, it's not Shabbat, huh? Israel, see you next time, all right? Shalom.